Keep your Bibles open to 3 John, and we're going to look at verses 9 to 12. I've entitled the message, Following What is Good. Following What is Good. Now, you're probably aware of the saying, to whom much is given, much is required. And it is very interesting to note that as we continue to study 3 John, the focus is not so much on the congregation per se. The focus shifts to the leaders. And John commends Gaius as a responsible and godly leader. He then condemns Diotrephes as a leader whose interest is to look after himself and more so his overinflated ego. And lastly, he draws our attention to Demetrius as a man that we should welcome and follow. So, you know, I've been reading a number of books on leadership. And one of the men that inspired me is John Maxwell. And he said this, everything rises and falls on leadership. He went on to say that leadership is not about titles, positions, or flowcharts. It is about one life influencing another. The greatest day in your life and mine is when we take total responsibility for our attitudes. That's the day we truly grow up. A man must be big enough to admit his mistakes, smart enough to profit from them, and strong enough to correct them. All leaders make mistakes. They are part of life. Successful leaders recognize their errors, learn from them, and work to correct their faults. Closed quote. That's what John Maxwell said. And friends, these are some very, very helpful thoughts from a man whose life really speaks volumes as you listen to him. And his life has been dedicated in leading himself and leading others to Christ and to walk that upright life. Now, what I want to do this morning is to focus on following what is good. Not just in a leader, but in all of life's lessons. Lessons that the Lord throws at us. Now, we have seen from last week's message that gospel people are called to support gospel workers. And partnerships in gospel is critical for gospel growth. Now, Sufiso mentioned that pagans will obviously support their own and will give to everything else but the gospel. And so too, when you look at the church. They will support their own. Now, when you see the number of mosques and temples and synagogues and kingdom halls that seem to mushroom all around us, it is simply because each religious group supports its own cause. And therefore, when you see church buildings and halls going up, Christian halls, it is great, and we commend that. But friends, we know that it is not about church buildings going up. The kingdom is not so much about beautiful architecture with well-manicured lawns and the ambience of beautiful interior design. Although there is nothing wrong with such buildings, Jesus warned his disciples about placing emphasis on something that perishes. Have a look with me at Mark chapter 13 and verses 1 and 2. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." "Do you see all these great buildings?" Jesus replied. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. So here it is, you know. Obviously, when one is walking and you see beautiful art and architecture, you're there to admire it. And that's what the disciples were doing. They're seeing the temple and they were really, really enthralled by it. And Jesus said, and in fact warns them, not to place emphasis on something that is going to perish. It is more important, he says, to value people, to see them walk in truth, to live by the truth, and to grow day by day in the truth. Have a look at what Jesus said to the sons of Zebedee. We just read that. And perhaps you want to look at it again, 42 to 45. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." So what is Jesus saying? He's saying it's not about taking first place. It's not about becoming a superhero. It is not about being number one. It's not about how highly favored you are in the eyes of men. It is about being a servant and remaining humble. This is God's favor. This is God's blessing. In fact, if you choose to remain true to the gospel, Jesus said, you will be persecuted. You know, Mervyn Eloff, who writes the book that we're busy with, makes the point in his commentary that opposition to gospel work is not something that is unexpected. He says the gospel in its very nature makes those who indulge in evil uncomfortable. And he goes on to say that the world is, you know, the world, for all its claims about truth, tolerance and love, does not tolerate the truth about God and his love for us in Jesus Christ. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And it comes as no surprise that people who reject the light should reject those who point them to Jesus, who is light. Now here is the crux of the matter according to John and in verses 9 and 10 that is even more distressing. It is when such opposition comes from people who claim to be in the light and who name the name of Christ, who should be walking in the truth and walk and working for the truth, but instead, go quite the opposite direction. And one such person that John names in this church is Diotrephes. And he is beginning to have quite a reputation. His action, friends, speaks louder than words. Now, who is Diotrephes? And this is where we come to self-centered leadership. He is a person who has a degree of responsibility in this church. He may have been an elder himself. He may have been a person with a lot of influence and authority. He may even be a self-appointed bishop. The Bible does not explicitly tell us his position or what specific position he was holding in his church. But it is very clear that he was a man who assumed some kind of authority, yet he himself is not subject to authority. Now you have people like that who kind of think they are it. They're the boss, and they're on the top, and basically, they listen to nobody. In fact, he undermines the authority of the Apostle John. Perhaps it is a power struggle of some sort that Diotrephes and kind of others have who think in a similar way, where they want to be number one. Notice how John deals with such a person when he mentions Diotrephes. It is to make Gaius aware that he is not blind to what this man is doing and capable of doing. And notice John does not gossip about Diotrephes to Gaius. It's easy to look at it that way. Rather, he is saying to Gaius, don't be intimidated by Diotrephes. And he also wants Gaius to make the church aware that the apostle is for the truth rather than against the truth, and that he will meet with Diotrephes face to face and deal with his behavior. Now friends, here is a lesson on how we need to deal with individuals who are malicious gossipers. As a godly man or woman, I must be able to lovingly tell people to stop what they are doing. If somebody comes over to you and maliciously gossips about somebody else, I, as a godly man and a godly woman, must tell them to stop what they are doing. I must tell them to rather go to the person or the people that they have a problem with and talk to them rather. It is always good to meet and clear out assumptions and misunderstandings. A leader or a person who has been appointed to such a position must be all the more careful. Because the Bible tells us, to whom much is given, much is required. And therefore, it is incumbent upon leaders to make sure that when we do hear someone maliciously gossiping, we got to stand up for what is right and godly. It is interesting to hear John Stott's reference to Diotrephes. Listen to what Stott calls Diotrephes. Stott says Diotrephes is a Christian fraud. Now, there is a good reason for that. I was thinking about this and I says, you know, that's a misnomer. That's kind of like almost a paradox, a contradiction in terms. Have a look at 3 John 11. 3 John 11. It says, dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Now, it is clear that Diotrephes is not imitating what is good. In fact, it is the direct opposite. He is imitating what is evil. And John says that someone who does evil has not seen God. Just follow me here. In other words, that person is not a Christian. A Christian does not continue to behave day after day, week after week, month after month in the same way. Surely such a person fails to heed correction. Surely such a person is not teachable. Surely such a person is simply unrepentant and refuses to seek forgiveness. And therefore, 1 John 1:9 is not part of his vocabulary. And what does 1 John 1:9 says? 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And here we can clearly see that this man or woman, specifically in this context, Diotrephes, is not looking at it in basically coming before the Lord and seeking his own, searching his own heart. Therefore, Stott says, Diotrephes is a Christian fraud. He's a Christian by name only. Therein lies the paradox. Can you see it? I can't call myself a Christian and not listen to correction. John puts it another way and says this, if the light within you is darkness, Matthew 6:23. How great is the darkness? He says, the eye is a lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Now listen to Matthew 23 and verse 15 in what Jesus says. Jesus says to the Pharisees, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Can you see what Jesus is saying? These are different ways of saying the same thing. Clearly, this man is doing what is evil. He positions himself above everyone else. He is not hospitable. He chases people away by his behavior. Worse, he literally throws people out of the church who disagrees with him. However Diotrephes justifies himself, the man is evil. And as such, he has not seen God. Verse 11. He cannot be a Christian. Why? Because he's not doing what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil is not from God. And John is absolutely in line with what the Apostle Paul is saying in Corinthians. Have a look at 2 Corinthians 13:5 with me, would you? You'll see it on the screen. He says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Can you see what Paul is saying to the Corinthians? It is a strong call by the Apostle Paul for the Corinthian believers to examine their hearts. And one cannot continually do evil and think that one is in the faith. No, the acid test for any Christian is to live out the truth. Have a look again at 2 Corinthians 13, verses 8 to 10. Listen to what Paul says to the Corinthians here. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is that you may be fully restored. This is why I write these things when I am absent, that when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority, the authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down. So we can only live out the truth by continually, friends, asking the Holy Spirit for his help. And Paul is basically saying to the Corinthians here, in the Corinthian church, guys, live by the truth. Live by the truth. Live in the light. And live according to what Christ has placed in your hearts. The second point that I want to bring to you is God-centered leadership. Instead of self-centered leadership, let's have a look at what it means to have God-centered leadership. Have a look at verse 12 with me. Verse 12 says this, Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. Here's Demetrius on the other hand, whose credentials are strong. Notice, his credentials and testimony is not from himself. He is not speaking highly of himself. You know, he does not place himself above everyone else. He is not number one in his own eyes. He's talking about somebody else speaking well of him. Now, who is talking about this man and his testimony? Well, have a look at 3 John verse 12 again. It says, everyone speaks well of Demetrius. That means he's held in high esteem by the church itself. You know, friends, one of the acid tests in terms of your life and testimony is how well does your family speak of you, because they know you better than anybody else. The second acid test is how well do your neighbors speak of you. How well do your neighbors speak of you? You know, if I go knock on your neighbor's door and say to them, I am Pastor Raj Mudli. I'd like to know about your neighbor next door. And you might be the neighbor next door. Can you tell me about him or her? I wonder what they would say. See, that's the acid test in terms of your godliness and your godly life. Unless, of course, if your neighbors don't like Christians, then they'll say everything that, you know, that is wrong. But friends, we must not give our neighbors anything to talk evil about us. The Bible says outsiders must speak well of us. So here it is. Here's a man, everyone is speaking well of him. Not only is everyone speaking well of him, he is well spoken of by the truth itself. What does that mean? Well, it means that Demetrius is walking together in the truth and for the truth, just as Gaius has been. And he's a man faithful to the truth. He'll stand up for what is right. He'll stand up for his convictions. He will not waver between two opinions. He's a single-minded man. He's not a double-minded person. Because the Bible says a double-minded person is unstable in all that they do. And thirdly, he is well spoken of by the elder and the elders' community. The Bible says that outsiders must speak well of us, and Demetrius is a man to be welcomed and supported. He serves as an example of a man who does what is good, well spoken of by insiders and outsiders. Diotrephes serves as an example of a man who is evil, who likes to be number one. He likes to treat people inhospitably, and he excommunicates people. He is not a man governed by the truth. On the other hand, we notice Demetrius, he's a man that is well-loved, well-liked, and not only well-loved and well-liked by the community, but by the truth itself. He lives the truth. He exemplifies the truth. And friends, as we come to the end of this sermon and message, can I ask you to examine your heart as I examine my own heart? And ask ourselves this one question. Does the characteristics displayed within these two characters, Demetrius and Diotrephes, as it is in the scriptures, do I resemble Diotrephes or do I resemble Demetrius? Which two characters portray me? And you got to come to a decision in your own heart. If it is Diotrephes, you need to come before the Lord in humility and repent. If it is Demetrius, don't think too highly of yourself, but continually humble yourself and come before the Lord. The Bible reminds us, with privilege comes responsibility. Nurture your heart in the truth. Follow what is good. Hate what is evil for the sake of the gospel. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we approach the throne of grace, we're coming in the presence of truth. Lord, we are coming in the presence of light. Light that is magnificent, that searches and exposes darkness. And oh Lord, how we pray that you'll help us in the area of self-centeredness and conceitedness. We all fail so often in thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought. Keep us from spiritual pride. Help us, Holy Spirit, to crucify self, to mortify self, and to grow in humility. Help us to be godly examples of Christian virtue. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.